Good morning. This is Jesse Stark here, and we are diving into the first episode of any podcast that I've ever recorded, video included. I've done a few episodes now where I did a recording. This is meant to be an intentional dive into me trying out all my new tools. Hopefully, we can match this recording up with a few of the other tools that I have, including the audio file. And I'm recording this on my iPhone, so let's see how this goes. Today, I'd like to discuss a topic that is real close to home for me, something that I've been working on for a long time now, and something that's really close to my heart in terms of how I've been able to teach myself this topic. And that topic is sales, entry-level sales. I feel like I have a lot to give to this side of the world, and having failed at it, having succeeded at it, I feel like I have a few tools that I can pass on. And one of the things that really prompted this is a few of my friends have dove into sales recently, and I felt like sending them a bit of advice. That turned into a little writing exercise, and through this I've actually identified about 5, 6, 7, 8 different strategies that I would be using right now if I became an entry-level salesperson. So that's the topic for today. We're going to be looking at some of the tools, some of the ideas, some of the philosophies that I would be doing and I would be looking at if I was just starting out in sales. That's the idea of this. So without further ado, we're going to talk about ways to become a better SDR in the first 3 to 6 months. And again, we're going to begin by talking a little bit about me and what I learned. So I am a sales guy, and I am focused on selling. Currently, I'm running client meetings. I'm looking at overall marketing strategies. I am also in charge of an SDR, and helping them achieve what they need to achieve on a day-to-day is also helped me refine my processes. Before this, I was an SDR for 4 years, so I understand what it's like to get hit hard on the phones, sending a follow-up email. And I entered this with a severe lack of confidence that through failure, through refining, and through persistence, I was able to really identify. So the reasons I think you should listen to me is because I've both been really successful at it and I failed at it. So I know what not to do, and I feel like I do know what to do as well. So that's the first thing. I guess I would say I'm self-taught as well. Nobody has given me a formal education. I know there isn't, in terms of a sales career, you can't really have formal training. I do understand that. However, I do need to give credit to some people who are willing to stick their neck out for me and teach me some really important, valuable stuff that I wouldn't have learned anywhere else. So, to say I'm self-made or self-taught isn't really the best way about going about it. Again, I would like to say that a lot of these strategies, I feel like I learned myself. So without further ado, we're going to dive in here to the first kind of thing I would be looking at if I was a new SDR or business development representative or sales development representative. Number one, meet new people that you want to be like. So the first thing I noticed when I dove into my sales career and when I first started was the AEs were way better than me. They were way smarter. They were way more confident. They knew the product really well. And to be honest, that was the job I really wanted. I'm not sure I wanted to be hitting the phones every single day booking meetings from people when I knew the real value would come from actually selling the software. So what you can do if you're a new SDR is find a group of AEs in your org that you want to be like and start to study them. So the first thing you can do is study what they spend their time doing, maybe even asking them about how they work and what their comp is like, what their goals might be, what their strengths are, and find yourself some meetings with them pretty regularly. That's what I would say. So, just reaching out to them internally, hey, I'm new here. I really like and I'm really impressed with your abilities, or maybe something a little bit more general. And then see if you can get some time together where you can just poke them and ask some questions. I was really successful at this in one of my earlier sales careers. I actually interviewed every single AE at the company to just ask them a little bit about their style, how they got into the space, how they learned and got better. And then I started to make a little fact sheet about them all, taking positives, taking negatives, looking at different things that they could do well, and more importantly, building my own strategy based on this. One thing you'll notice is you can't be like everyone. So if you're looking to become a copycat or a mirror of someone you really like, that's not a bad thing. but I would generally recommend interviewing a few people to get a sense of the organization, some of the different people that are involved, and what their strategy is like. I feel that you can do this really well by being humble. One of the most important things to remember about salespeople, they like to talk. They also like to talk about themselves. So if you can get them to open up and just talk a little bit about what makes them successful, guaranteed they would be reciprocal. And they're definitely willing to share a few strategies, maybe not everything. And then you'll probably also build a relationship with them where maybe they can be someone you lean on in the future. Maybe you can ask them for advice. Again, in my career, when anyone's ever asked to shadow me or look at what I'm doing, I come to it with open arms. I always see it as a collaborative thing, and I like to show off as well. So that's one of my traits. When I was an SDR and I was trying to study other people, I really benefited from some similar individuals who were looking at doing much of the same stuff, to be honest. Just taking someone new under their wing, understanding what can be done right away. And then furthermore, you can start to pick out strategies that work. And this is the fastest way to gain success in a new company. You need to see what's working for others. That's the most important thing. So that's number one, meet new people at a company, understand who they are, get a sense of their abilities, ask some good questions, and be humble. Number two, this goes really well with some of the other stuff I've said so far. Watching demos at your company. So most companies, and again, this is going to be specifically for SaaS, I guess I would say that. One of the things to remember is that my company, we do demos, we do product demonstrations quite a bit, and this is how we sell. So people show up on our calendars, we meet with them, we try and sell them the software, maybe it takes a few meetings, and that's generally the job. If you are an SDR at one of these companies, again, it's gonna be really easy for you to pop in on someone's meeting and just tag along. Most salespeople are okay with this if you ask respectfully, kind of in the same vein as number one. And again, a lot of companies also have recording software. So that's the first place I would look. In my company, we do have a recording tool that looks at all the demos. So you could even do this without having to bother anyone or even being present on that meeting. But if not, like I said, picking out a few people that you've already spoken with, you've already introduced on step one, and you can say to them, hey, I'm looking to learn a little bit more about what makes people excited about this software, excited about this product. Can I study what you guys are doing over there? Can I look at it in terms of your demos? Can I just be a fly on the wall, right? And what you want to learn here is a couple of things. Mainly, what makes someone buy, and then understanding that at a larger level, you can scale it. So try and pick out a few things that make the prospect go, oh, wow, I really like that. Or even better, it solves this specific pain. The second thing you should be doing is looking at how the buyer responds to the sales process and learning as much about that as you can from the demo. So good note-taking is really important here. Also volume. Understanding 5 or 6 different sales calls is better than studying one really well because each prospect is different. So the better you can get at booking qualified meetings here, the closer you are to understanding this as well. Watching the demos on the other side, on the flip side, is what I've had a lot of success with. And how this looks is, you are calling people, you're emailing people, that's the gig. You're looking to book meetings with qualified prospects. The best way to do this is to reverse engineer the process. Looking at what makes them at the buying stage buy, then you can package that, understand it, and then that should be in your messaging in the first place. So you're gonna actually reverse engineer this process. You can even take the AE's pitch or some of the most valuable parts about it and embed this into your outbound, including your emails, including any sort of pitches that you're doing, whether it's on LinkedIn, whether it's over the phone. You should be able to add a considerable amount of ammo to your products doing this. And another thing, you should be starting to do this with more regularity as you go through it. So, you know, I wouldn't overload too much, too many meetings too often. If you're following and you're shadowing too much, you're not going to absorb it all. So this should be something that's regularly happening, especially because products are always changing. SaaS is an evolving climate. We don't always know next month or the month afterwards how things are going to change. So you need to be doing this regularly to see how prospects respond. Again, another thing you can do here is really looking at demos you booked. So if you actually have the ability to book your own meetings and people are showing up to that, a great thing to do would be to hand that off to the actual AE. Don't say anything during the meeting, but seeing what you said resonated with them and then how that plays out in the actual meeting. The closer you can get to getting qualified leads to the table based on this information, the closer you are to a promotion. And that's the idea, is that you're the first line in the sales process. You're the people setting the expectations. You're getting people interested in what the prospect wants. But then, if you're just handing it off, you're not really learning too much about that process. And if you are looking to go from an SDR to an AE, it's going to be essential that you understand what happens between that initial email, cold call, or whatever it took to get that person to the meeting, and then what actually happens on the call. When you find success stories to share, like why did that big account close last quarter? What's the best reason to buy your software right now? It's a great thing to embed in your sales process. Another thing you can do is befriend the customer support side as well. Similarly to the AEs, customer success, support, whatever your company decides to call it, is a great resource for you to understand what makes prospects, what makes clients happy customers. Again, looking at this process and reverse engineering it for yourself is going to help you on these calls, going to help you with your outbound. So that's what I would say about number two, is just really being a watchful, curious student of the sales process at your company and know it like the back of your hand. So that's number two. Number three, prospecting. This looks different for everyone. Now, depending on your ICP, the customer profile that you're targeting, it's gonna look a lot different. Some sales staff, they have thousands of leads to go after. Some only have 100. So it is really gonna depend on what industry you're in. In my side, on the tech side, it's between hundreds and thousands of prospects is what we're dealing with, right? So the idea here is once a month, you're going to refine your ICP. If nothing has changed too much, then it's not valuable. But in the first month, you're really going to want to spend time identifying who exactly fits this description. Anyone outside of it can be put to the side for now. You want to focus really on the people you know that can move now, or you know that would be a great fit for it. Another great way of looking at it is you want to get feedback from these people as well. So you want to reach out to them, say, hey, I believe it's a fit based on this, this, and that. Can you inform or can you help me understand if that's true? I would love to get to know your thoughts on this kind of thing, right? But when we talk about prospecting, you need to look at your day-to-day activities and do you have enough runway to get there? One of the things I was most obsessed with as an SDR is next week. It's always something that's in the back of my mind. Do I have enough people to call? If I get through all my calls today, tomorrow, next week, will I have enough going forward? And this is something that really dawned on me that this was important early on. And so what you can do here is setting your daily KPI. You need enough people to call today. That's so important. But I would recommend once a month, even once a week, to obsess over your prospecting, meaning you're focused only on driving more leads into that funnel, identifying more people who might be a fit for your software, and your focus isn't actually on outreaching to them just yet. You're looking to add more people to that. This can also look like a lead scraping list, or you can go back over the leads that you do have and spend a bunch of time either filling in new details that you've learned or taking people off that list. Most people set aside time at the end of their day to do this, or have like a call software do that for them. That's okay too, but I would really recommend once a month dedicating the entire day to making sure that next month, next quarter, next year has enough in the pipeline. That's number three. Number four now, shooting for good calls before call metrics. This is probably the most foundational call strategy that I've employed in my career with success, and this is coming from someone who's consistently made over 100 cold calls a day. The idea here when you're new is to shoot for good calls before call metrics. I can't tell you how many times I've seen sales reps come into their job, think that their 100 outbound dials is actually the role that they're supposed to be doing, and when they hit that call metric, they're done for the day, regardless of the results that they've achieved. This is a strategy for sure. I know a lot of people will utilize it, especially more junior reps, especially reps that maybe don't have the kind of experience and know how to get the job done. I've been a victim of it too. The idea is, you know, this one is optional and discretionary, but you should have an idea to get a good call. So what I mean by this is, instead of looking at a total number of outbound calls per day, 100, 50, 20, whatever you want to call it, although 20 might be a little bit small here, you can really dive into the idea, I want to have a good chat with someone. That should be my goal for the next hour, for the next 2 hours. Try and learn as much as you can from them. Now, obviously, people don't have as much time. Not everyone's going to open up to you. People are going to hang up the phone on you. That is the job. That's not going to change. What might be valuable for you is to shoot for having a good call. Did you keep someone on the line for a little bit longer? Did you learn a tidbit about their business? Did you ask them to help you understand something about what's problem for them, top of mind for them, what's really preventing them from hitting their goals? This is the idea here. Even on your worst days, you can just focus on having one good chat and go from there. Once completed, you can move on to two calls. Always try and hit your call number, but remember that good calls generally last more than bad ones. So focusing on this can really help build confidence and such. When we're talking about the job itself, momentum is really key here. And I know how I feel after having a good call, as opposed to having someone hang up the phone in my face. So approaching this is open-minded. You're asking for their help. You're asking to learn a little bit about their business can be really effective. This would help if you can get someone to lower their guard, and that's what you really need. You need them to hear you out, but you also want to listen to them. Again, shooting for a good call here is really better than the average metric. At the first bit, you're going to be making a lot of outbound, and there will be days where it feels like you can't get a good conversation. But when you're shooting for meetings, having a good call is generally indicative towards booking that call. Even if the prospect says that they're not interested, them taking the time to talk to you allows you to have a learning opportunity. You can see what makes them tick. If they're not interested in your product, it's probably because they have another priority that's top of mind for them. Figure out what that is. Figure out if it aligns with another need down the line, and either wait them out or help them see that you can help them right now. So that's number four, shooting for a good call. That's the number one thing. And for me, the advice that I was given for this metric, having a good call and shooting for that, is really what made a difference for me in my career. Not even just saying it. So that's number four. Moving on a little bit, number five. This is do what you say you're going to do. So when we're looking at how to be a salesperson, one of the most important pieces of this is being punctual and following up. I can't tell you how important this is, because we're inundated as salespeople with all sorts of different ways that you can spend your time. You're going to be talking to hundreds of thousands of people across your career. It's going to become difficult to remember to follow up at a certain time, to outreach at a certain time. If they said, call me back next Tuesday, if they said, call me back in 6 months, how are you going to stay on top of all this? The idea here is find a way to do it on your own. If you have a scheduler, if you're a Salesforce person and you can put tasks and that works for you. For me, I always put something in my calendar, 5 to 10 minutes reminder to send that person a note. The most important thing you can do in sales is be a professional. So following up in that 2 week period, make sure you do it exactly on that time or a little bit sooner. It's really discretionary here. The problem is most salespeople don't really feel valued, and they don't really feel valuable in following up on a certain day. Sometimes prospects will just tell us, hey, follow up in a month, follow up in 2 months. That can be a catch-all term for leave me the hell alone. And I do understand that. The idea here is you don't care about that. You're a professional. This is your job. You are either a meeting booker or a deal closer in sales. Those are the two main roles. And if they're not going to be ready to do that today, then the best thing you can do is just being persistent, professionally, of course, and confident. But nothing in terms of bothering them. We don't want to spam them too often. They just, you know, if they say, call me back in 2 months, that needs to be a priority for you in 2 months. That's all I'm going to say. So doing what you say you're going to do, calling back at this time, following up with this email, with this information, even the little things really matter here. And I'll give you an example. A lot of prospects will also tell you, oh, send me an email. And again, this can be catch-all for leave me the hell alone. But actually following up with an email is important. And if we can do this consistently, we can build up good habits. This will result in an overall net increase in meetings booked and relationships built. So that's my advice for that. If you say you're going to do something, do it. And that's a real big leg up in sales. So that's number five. Do what you say you're going to do. Number six, find out how you get paid and work backwards. This is, you know, every salesperson is going to tell you about this. I'm not unique to this. Finding out the metrics that you need to make the money you want to make is going to be a powerful tool in your arsenal. You will be able to assess and understand how each minute of your sales day is spent in terms of money that you're going to be making for yourself. So we all make salaries in sales. That's a normal thing, but the commission is why we're there. So the first thing you need to do as an SDR when you're new is understand, what is a meeting worth to you? How much money you're going to make from that personally? How much money is the company going to make for that personally? Another metric to make sure you understand is your AE's closing rate. So if they're conducting your meetings that you're booking, How often are they closing them? What are their targets? What are your company's targets? Okay, so my AE is closing at 22%, 25%, 30%, and he's got a target of X at the end of the month. Well, I know that I need X amount of meetings. If he's closing 30% of them, I need to extrapolate that out, and I need to get him enough or her enough to work with so that they can have a close rate that gets you paid, that gets them paid. Similarly, if we're looking to have targets, then you got to work backwards. I need 30 meetings booked this month to hit my quota number. Okay, well, we divide that by days in the month. That's 1-to-1. Of course, weekends, we take that out. We know we need 1 or 2 meetings booked per day at minimum to hit our targets. So that's the idea, is you're going to build your targets, you're going to work backwards, and having this understanding top of mind will always help you get back to basics. Something that's really important to me in sales is a revenue generating activity. So when you're looking at anything you're doing, what is making this company money? Am I working towards moving that needle for them or not? And so when we look at how you get paid, you can then assess, is this activity going to help me towards my goal? If it's not, then it needs to be put on the back burner. And so another thing you can do here is scheduling your day so that you can hit your targets based on the money you want to make. And again, doing this backwards leads to you not coming into your day not knowing what the hell to do. I know a lot of salespeople turn on their computer and they let Salesforce tell them what to do and let meetings kind of get in the way. And maybe they have some internal stuff going on at the company. There's lots of stuff like that. When you understand how you get paid and you look at everything you're doing as a revenue generating activity, you can really parse the nonsense from the stuff that's actually important, and working backwards will allow you to set these targets that you can hit. So that's number 6. Find out how you get paid and work backwards. Number 7, fail quickly. A lot of salespeople don't really succeed, and that's going to be normal. So, you know, if there were 100% hit rates across the sales game, they probably wouldn't see the profession as so difficult. And one of the most valuable pieces of advice that I can give to anyone starting out is to fail quickly. I have failed a ton in this game. One day I actually thought, I'm not going to do sales anymore because I'm failing at it that badly. So I decided that I was going to make my call metrics in the way that I advised against earlier, is just making them. Failing over and over and over again, getting hung up on over and over and over again. I actually had the pleasure of doing this in a boiler room style office. So as a junior employee, the entire office could hear me fail over and over and over again. And by being persistent, I showed up and I kept doing it, and I really started to hate the job. This is one of the most important things that I've had happen to me. And the reason is because I knew what didn't work. The next time I went back into sales and SaaS, I realized what was valuable. And so by failing, you can actually unlock a power in yourself, which is knowing what not to do. And I wouldn't recommend anyone go out there and fail, but failing quickly is really important. If you're going to burn out some leads, do it fast and learn. Understand why you're doing this and really keep doing it, because eventually, sales is a momentum game, it's also a numbers game, and it's a confidence game. So the more used you can get to feeling like this isn't going to work, or I'm getting no's, or people are not interested, people are hanging up the phone on me, this is all generally good for you in your career. The thicker skin you can develop in doing so, the better you're going to be at making these calls going forward. The more fearless you're going to be as you approach these calls. I can't tell you, you know, when I've been in situations where I've failed so much worse than any situation I'm gonna be in, it gives me a hell of a lot of confidence when I'm doing my calling. You have no idea. I've had people yell at me, scream at me, laugh at me, all these kinds of things. And now that I've had this happen, I have the experience to sit and say, okay, that's actually valuable, because now when I do my calling, it's not a problem to me, and that feeling of failure is gone. So I would say if you're new at this, it's okay to fail, and failing quickly and then showing up again is gonna be a real value add to you. In other words, you know, sales is a profession people are going to pay you to fail in. So if you're willing to learn, if you're willing to keep showing up, you can get better and better and better by failing. And that's what I would say. So fail quickly. Don't be too hard on yourself. Sales is a zero-sum game in many days, and you're going to realize that. And it's actually the people who keep showing up that are the successful ones. It's not the people who have this natural gifted ability. They often do very well, but it's persistence, it's consistency, and is confidence. So once you get over that initial failure stage, you're going to do really well. And that's my advice to you. So that's number seven. Number eight, and the final one, I would say, is find your voice. Don't be anyone but yourself. And this is going to be the most important thing I say throughout this entire podcast, is being yourself is the most important thing that you can do. Now, I told you earlier to study others. I told you earlier to try and have good conversations. The easiest way to be successful at sales is to be authentic. And that's the most important thing. I'm going to say it again. It's the most important thing. If you are putting on a face every day to become a salesperson, which I've done, it's helpful. It can be useful. And it's definitely something that I would recommend doing as a way to compartmentalize how you do this job. But when you can get to a stage where you're speaking off the cuff, you're being yourself, you're being authentic, it will resonate better with the prospects. And they're not stupid. They know if you're comfortable. They know if you're running your sales game more like a sales game or like a radio show. And when you can approach calls, interactions, outreach, cold calls, all of that stuff with a level of confidence that comes from being you, finding your own voice in the sales process, calls, whatever you want to say, then this will allow you to approach things more organically, more authentically, and your prospects will respond a lot better. It was a light bulb moment for me when I decided to drop the salesy voice that, you know, everyone can kind of pick out when you're doing your cold calling. It happens to a lot of people. And you'll notice that when you start to do this kind of thing, you're going to develop a muscle memory for how you're going to be speaking to people. That's normal. One of the things you can do is record yourself. And I know this is not, you know, day one type of stuff. If you really wanted to, you could start it on day one. You can understand, okay, I'm making a call. How do I sound? Do I sound salesy? Find a way to become and shine through what that actual sales voice is. So if you can get by it, if you can get through it, if you can become a little bit more personable, a little bit more human, if you can make your prospects laugh, if that's your strategy, then do what works for you. Myself, I love to make people laugh. I love to have authentic conversations. I really love to pattern break and get through the noise. So that's what's worked for me, is just being personable, seeing it as a, you know, a radio show type deal when you are calling people has been really helpful for me as well. So again, that's number eight, finding your own voice. Try not to be anyone but yourself, and you're gonna have success doing this. That's it for my eight sort of sections with advice. All of this boils down to a couple of things that I've learned throughout my sales career. One of the things you can start to do as well is do a lot of reading. That's what I would recommend. If you're new to this and, you know, the other eight pieces of advice haven't really resonated with you today, I would say pick up a sales book and go through some of the most rudimentary sales titles that there are, and then go from there. That's number nine, I would say. But other than that, I feel like this is generally what you should be doing in your first 3 to 6 months, getting an understanding of the role. Really diving into the product and becoming an expert of the product as well is something that's going to become inherent as you do your calling. However, these 8-9 skills that I've offered up are going to be a huge leg up for you if you can get ahead of them. The next thing we're going to be looking at is, you know, when you're a little bit more tenured as an SDR or BDA, how are you going to approach your day-to-day activities, and how are you going to get better and earn that promotion? So that's where I'm looking to go next. With this kind of stuff, it's helpful to be open-minded, and also don't be too hard on yourself. Sales is tough. It's also going to feel like days are harder than others, and some days you're not going to want to come back and do this. That's happened to me. That's happened to everyone I've ever known in sales. So compartmentalizing, building a thick skin, all of this stuff will come natural to you when you're a little bit more tenured. But for the first 3 to 6 months, focusing on learning about your colleagues, learning what makes them successful, building relationships with them, being authentic, developing your sales voice, understanding a little bit more about what makes people buy, and then building your own sort of style as well. That's what I would recommend you shoot for in your first 3 to 6 months. Anyway, thanks for listening. This has been the first edition of Becoming a Better SDR, and I hope you like it.